Brother and Sister Rapp tonight. Just plan on receiving from God. Plan on being in the altar tonight, hearing from heaven. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I heard a preacher preach a message one time about Isaiah. Said when he saw the Lord, he saw him in his glory. And then when he saw a true vision of God, he saw a true vision of himself. And he cried, "Woe on me, for I am undone." And after God got through getting a hold of him and changing him, he caught a vision of the world. And when God said, "Who shall we send?" he said, "Here am I." That's the whole duty of man. Fear God and honor the King. And there's more to that, but I'm forgetting it at this moment. But ever since I've heard that message, every time I read those scriptures, those themes come back to my memory. If we could really see God for who He is, then we would see who we really are. And then we'd cry, "Lord, change me." And when He got done, then we would get a real vision for what this world needs. And then we would go and do whatever He asked. So I appreciate the Lord and the work that He does in our lives. I'm always, and I say this is honestly, I'm always humbled to preach His gospel. Anywhere I go, but even before I was evangelizing, even in my home church, I know me, and I always tell people, "You think you know me, but you don't know me like I know me." And when I look at myself and what I am, I know that I'm not worthy to do what I'm doing. So I always take this humbly because I'm thankful for what God does. But anytime I go into a church and I'm known as Brother Scott's grandson, or I hear, "We love your grandpa and your grandma," or "We really love your grandpa and your grandma," and it goes on and on and on, and I don't take it lightly. I've told this to a few people already, and I hope it stands true when we're done, that I hope you still love my grandma and my grandpa when I'm done. Because I love them too. And if there is a problem, blame him. He encouraged me to do this, so I'm kidding. I do want to say before we preach tonight that I'm thankful for your pastor and his wife. Brother Hurst has had a very unique influence on my life, in that every time I seen him, I couldn't tell if he loved me or hated me. But it always, every time he walked away, it compelled me to do better. I've been around him some, but I've heard him preach. Matter of fact, I get on the internet a lot and download messages that he's preached, and he doesn't even know it. But I've heard a lot of things from him that has really encouraged me and helped me. And you folks are blessed with your pastors. Not only the pastors, but the singing, everything that's went on tonight has blessed my soul, and I'm thankful for that, that you can feel God in so many places that you go, and even if it is different ways, and I'm thankful for that. I do want to say also I appreciate Brother McKelvey and your family. First time I ever came to Dayton, they took me in their home. Had no idea who I was. All they knew is we were from California, and that's dangerous in itself. But I don't think we ever got to bed before midnight, just visiting, just having fun, watching football. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That didn't happen. No, but, it was one of those things that when you leave and you walk away, you know, you're never gonna forget what happened, even if it didn't even have to be in church. It was just a relationship that you had an encounter with, and you knew when you walked away you wasn't going to be the same. So I appreciate them. Appreciate the offering. I've been talking with your pastor some throughout the day and been hearing about your folks' area that you're in, your community, what it's done. It sounds a lot like ours, where we come from. Most of the men in our church are in construction, and some of you may know, have heard of what Merced, California, just by reading in the newspaper. And I know it's just not there, it's everywhere, and not just here, it's everywhere. But what I'm saying is as an evangelist, I don't ever want to be a burden on anybody. And so I thank you for your giving. I believe God will bless you for it. And if there was any other way that I could do this and not have to rely on people's giving, I would do it. But unfortunately, that's just the way it is right now. So we appreciate that very much. It humbles me, and I hope I can be a blessing in return. But more than anything, I am thankful for my wife and my son. My wife has been an encouragement to me ever since we got married. Even before then, she told me. My main concern was what God wanted her to do in her life. And I had one thing in mind that I wanted to hear, and I never told her that, but when I asked her what she felt like God wanted her to do, she said exactly what I wanted to hear. And it wasn't to be an evangelist wife. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. It was, I want to do whatever God has my husband do. And that was exactly what I wanted to hear. Because I may not always be an evangelist. I may not be a missionary. I may never be a pastor. I may never do those things. I'm not guaranteed to preach another message. But if I have a wife that will support me in everything that I do, that's what we need. And I appreciate her and my son. If you haven't met him, meet him. That way, if you don't like my preaching, you'll love my family. He has been a joy to our home. We love him dearly, and most of the time he may do it tonight. Sometimes when I get loud and get going, he'll get preaching right with me. So I'm encouraged. I pray that God will use him in his life when he grows up. But before I preach, normally I don't sing, and I told him that I don't, but I have a course on my mind. I don't need a piano. I'd like everybody to help me with it. You know it very well. This is something I want to do. I haven't done it anywhere we've been so far because it hasn't come up yet. But just help me sing this chorus real quick. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Melody. Happy birthday to you. Now that I've thoroughly embarrassed her. Love my wife. Honey, would you stand and testify before I preach tonight? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 3. To go along with what my wife said, I heard a preacher tell a story one time that he came across a Baptist minister, and if there's any Baptists here, I'm not trying to offend you in any way, but he was Pentecostal, and he found out the other man was Baptist, and he said, "Oh, so you're the ones that believe in eternal security." And the Baptist looked at him and said, "That's right, and you're the folks that practice it." So it behooves us to practice what we preach. And folks, there is no greater fear in my life than that I could come up short. And I don't live with that fear every day. I know God's mercy and grace is going to have to help me get there. But it is something I keep in my mind. Am I doing my best? Am I really ready to go? So it behooves us to keep the Lord in the forefront of our mind at all times, because, folks, we are in the last days. And Jesus is coming back. No matter how many times they get the date wrong, he is coming back. And I'm glad to know that this evening. Book of Acts, chapter number 3. If you would, stand for the reading of the word. Some of you already were. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And when they were filled with wonder and amazement at the which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." If I could, for a little while this evening, I want to take my title from verse number 5, where it says that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Amen. I'm tired of coming to church and expecting just something. Amen. I'll go into that a little farther tonight, but I'd like to preach to you tonight on exceeding all expectation. Exceeding all expectation. Lord, we're thankful tonight to be in your house. So grateful, God, to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach this gospel as you have called us to do. I ask, God, for a few moments that you'd hide me behind the cross. Give me the anointing that makes preaching effective. Cause people to hear your gospel and to respond to it in a way that would change their lives. I pray, God, more than anything, that the time spent in this altar would be productive in people's hearts and in people's lives. That we would leave here knowing that we've been changed by the precious blood of Jesus. I ask, God, that you would minister to every life in every way that needs to be done. There's no way I could preach a sermon or a message that could touch everybody's lives in the way that they need, but God, I pray the Holy Ghost would do just that for the next few moments. God, minister to us and let us know that it was good for us to have been in the house of God, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hey man, I've read this story many times. I've preached from it many times, and I love this story. One of the reasons why is because I'm one of my favorite messages ever preached came from this scripture. A young man from I say a young man. He's in his 30s now, so he's young. He's older than me, but he's young. The older I get, the more I realize how young people are. Amen. But I realized he preached a message that changed my life. And he preached about getting into the gate, not just sitting outside on the porch. And I could probably quote you so many things from that sermon. And I've never listened to it again because I don't have the CD. They didn't record it. But it's left such an impression on my mind. And that's why every time I read the scripture, I think of that sermon and what it did to my heart. But another reason why I like this story is because I can relate to the lame man. Amen. What I mean by that, I've never been lame. I have torn ACL. I had to have surgery. So I've been in that place where I had to be helped into bed and helped out of bed and couldn't do much on my own. But that's not what I mean by relating to him. But I can relate to the fact that when the Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb. Amen. What I mean is that when we read about this lame man, everybody knew him. They knew his condition. They knew his life. Amen. He was called out by what his problem was. We don't know his name. His name could have been Steve. It could have been Zach. It could have been David. I don't know. We don't know his name. All we know him is as the lame man. Amen. And I begin to think about this, and there's a lot of people in this world and maybe even in this church, amen, that if you was to be honest with yourself, you are known by what you've done. You are known by who you are, the choices you made, the things that you've accomplished in your life. Amen. Once a man becomes a judge, he is always known as a judge. Once a man has become a president, he's always known as a president, even in when his time is ended and he comes to the end of that term, they still know him as President so-and-so. So they carry that title with them all their lives. Amen. But there are some people in our lifetime and in maybe even in this church that you are carrying things that were committed in your past and the things that you did that maybe even you are ashamed of to mention, choices that you made that you would like to forget about. But the problem is you're known by that condition. Amen. I don't think I'm off my rocker here. Amen. Because everywhere I go, I find out that there are people carrying things that really they don't need to be carrying. Amen. There are burdens that we are bearing that we really don't need to be bearing. Amen. The Bible says to cast your burdens before the Lord. Amen. You know what you're supposed to carry? You're supposed to take up your cross and leave your burdens at Christ's feet. Amen. What does that mean, Brother Zach? The things that have been pushed upon me that was not my choice, those are my burdens. I'm to leave them at Christ's feet. If I have a health problem, that goes at his feet. If I come from a broken home, which I do, I leave it at Christ's feet. Amen. But I am to take up my cross. What is that? That is anything that I'm willing to do for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm to leave my burdens at Jesus' feet. Amen. But we know this man as the lame man. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb. Amen. So he'd been carrying this for a long time. He'd been this way for a long time. And I can tell you things in my life that even as a young boy, I carried for a long time. I told you the joy that I get when I'm known as Brother Scott's grandson. I've always been known as Brother Scott's grandson. And that's a privilege and an honor. But I'll tell you something, folks. I come from a home that's not perfect. My wife comes from a home that's not perfect. Hey, man, we can tell you our stories if we wanted to. Hey, man, and some of you young ladies, if you get the time and you want to be encouraged, go ahead and talk to my wife. Find out how she came from two parents that weren't even married together. Find out about her dad that's serving a life sentence in prison for murder. Amen. And you tell me God doesn't perform miracles and can't keep anybody. It'll encourage you. Amen. But we carry them things because it's who we are. I am what has been done to me. I am what has been pushed upon me, but I also am my choice. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. I could look at my wife and tell her things aren't going to work out between us because my mom and my dad didn't stay married and blame my dad and blame my mom. Amen. But that's not the way it is. I have a choice to make. Am I going to love my wife? Am I going to stay cling to her instead of this world? And I'll tell you, amen, I may not be coming from perfect backgrounds, but what I do from that day determines what I will be tomorrow. And I want to encourage somebody today that even if you have a time
title, even if you're known by something you did yesterday or last year or 50 years ago. You don't have to be that person today. Amen. Oh, we've preached a lot about this lame man. Amen. And a lot of different sermons has been done. Amen. But if I could, I talk to anybody, I want to know about the men that were carrying him. Amen. The Bible says that there were men that carried him to the gate beautiful. Amen. Now, I don't know. It just says he was carried. It may have been women. I don't know. Amen. He was just carried there. Amen. But if I could, for a little while, I'd like to interview those men. Amen. That carried him to the gate beautiful. Now, if you could help me for a little while. Amen. I like to use my imagination sometimes when I preach. But I got to believe that that lame man probably didn't always want to go to church. Amen. Bible says he was carried to the temple daily. Amen. Some of you kids might feel that way. Amen. Glory to God. I've been carried to church all my life. Amen. One man said, I've had a drug problem all my life. When I was a kid, I was drugged to church. I was drugged home. I was drugged back to church from church to church. I was so drugged I didn't have a choice. Amen. Maybe you can relate with that. Some of you that are preachers' kids or the pastor's kids, you know what it's like to be carried to church. Amen. I got to believe that there were some days that that lame man woke up and there was nobody there to carry him to church. But the Bible says that he was there daily. And I've got to believe that there were some days that he woke up and there wasn't a knock on his door and there wasn't somebody calling his name. But he knew, if I'm going to get what I need, I'm going to have to get to church. Amen. I know I may not be what you're used to tonight, but just bear with me for a moment. We're going somewhere. Amen. He woke up and there's no encouragement. There's nobody patting him on the back. But he knew, if I don't make it to that temple gate, there's nobody going to come and bring me money to my door. Nobody going to bring me food to my house. So he got up and he drug himself. Come on here. Amen. I want somebody to know something tonight. I don't care if you walked through this door and you stood on your own two feet and you may have had a suit on and a tie and you shook the preacher's hand and the evangelist's hand and everybody thinks you're doing all right. But if we could see you on the inside, you're dragging yourself to church. Why? Because we're going through things, folks. Amen. The world's hard right now and people hurt. So if I could see you through spiritual eyes, I believe that there's somebody that you're dragging yourself in, saying, if I don't make it to church, I may not live to tomorrow. I may not last till next week. I may not make it next Sunday. And I wanted to preach to you tonight that if you have to drag yourself, then drag yourself. But get to the house of God, because this is where your food is. This is where your water is. This is where you're going to get your help. So he dragged himself in. But if you could have interviewed those men that carried him, as they get to the gate there, they lay the lame man and they let them know that we'll be back to check on you in a few hours. Maybe they went in the temple. Maybe they went in to worship God. Hey, man, I don't know what they did. But when they came back and checked on the lame man and he's still sitting there and he's doing all right, maybe there was somebody that took his money and kept it safe so nobody stole it from him. I don't know. Hey, man, but if you could for just a moment and you could walk up to one of those people and ask him, what do you think about that lame man? I think I could tell you what they'd say. They'd look at you and say, well, we know that really he can't do much on his own, and really he's not able to stand on his own. Amen. But at least he's at church. At least you can always count on him to be faithful to church. He may not do much. He might not be able to handle much. But at least he's there. And what they tell you is that he's doing better than most people expect. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. He's doing better than what you think he would. And I want to tell you tonight, there might be somebody here that if I asked the pastor long enough, and I know he wouldn't tell me this, amen, but if we got in a conversation and he felt like he needed to tell me, he'd say, you know what, they're going through a lot. They're facing things in their life that nobody else is going through. And even though they shouldn't be here, at least they're faithful to church. They may may not do much. They may not sing in the choir. They may not preach. But you can count on them being a church. And I'm glad to know that there's people faithful. But friend, there's more to do than just coming to church. Amen. That lame man, he couldn't even stand on his own two feet. He had to be relied on to be carried to the gate. Amen. But he was faithful. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you may be down on yourself and may not feel like you can do much, I want you to know something. Be faithful. Amen. Because if he would have missed that day when Peter and John walked by, he'd still been the lame man. Amen. And I know that this might be first time preaching here, and some of you know me and some of you don't. Amen. So you may not know what to expect. Amen. But if you'll just be faithful to the house of God, amen, when the doors open, whether it's prayer meeting, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning, amen. But if you can make your way to the house of God, I want you to know something. One of these days, somebody's going to pass you by. Amen. And if you're here, you're not going to be the same. Amen. Glory to God. If you could have asked them what you think about the lame man, they'd have said he's doing better than most people expect. Amen. But how many of you know that wasn't good enough? Amen. I'm going somewhere really quick here, and I have long introductions and quick endings, all right, so I'm not that long. Amen. But that day came, amen, the Bible says that he was daily at the temple gate. Now, this may not have happened, and it may have happened, but it doesn't say, so I'm going to preach it this way. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But the Bible says that he was daily at the temple. And how many of you know that this is in Acts chapter 3? What happened in Acts chapter 2? The day of Pentecost. Amen. And I've thought about this a lot. Amen. But I have to believe that there came a day where that lame man sitting outside the temple gate, and it may have been a bad day, and he may have just been sitting there not expecting anything. Amen. All of a sudden, he heard a commotion. What in the world's going on? You read the story. On the day of Pentecost, when it fully came, they were all in one mind and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. I want you to know something. There's been a lot of debate about, did it happen in the upper room or did it happen in the temple? I don't really know, but whether it happened in the upper room or it happened in the temple, all I know is that somewhere they hit the streets. And there was a lot of people around that said, what are these Jews speaking in other people's languages, telling us the wonderful works of God? And Peter stood up and preached the gospel to thousands, and 3,000 were added. So I just got to think that lame man sitting outside the temple, and he heard the commotion, and he heard somebody say, what in the world's going on? And all of a sudden, somebody else said, man, look at all them drunk folks over there acting crazy. All of a sudden, Peter jumped up and said, ye men and brethren, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, give heed and hearken unto my words. These men are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but just the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. That lame man saying, what is that I hear? He had to have been hearing what was going on. And all of a sudden, Peter said, came to the end and said, all can be saved. He probably sat there and thought, not in my condition. There's no way God would love me. Finally, somebody spoke up what was in his mind and said, men and brethren, what do we got to do to be saved? And he probably thought, he's probably going to call us to come to the front, to stand, raise our hands, maybe give this or give that or do this or that, and I can't do any of those things. All of a sudden, Peter said, repent. I want you to know something, folks. Amen. This isn't a hard thing to do. Amen. You don't have to be able to come to the front of the church and to shout and to quote, amen, a creed to get saved. No, sir. Amen. It doesn't really take how much you put in the offering. That's not what saves you. All it takes, a layman can do it. All you got to do is repent. And he's sitting there and said, there's no way it's that easy. Amen. But Peter said it again. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, I can do that. And so I have to imagine, he raised his hand and said, God, I may be a lame man and I may never do anything for you, but if you'll forgive me, a sinner, amen, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I have to believe that that lame man was one of the first 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost, sitting outside that gate. Amen. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't stand, but he's sitting there at the temple gate with his hands raised, worshiping God and speaking in tongues. I want you to know tonight that I don't care who you are and I don't care what you've done, but if you'll just ask God to forgive you and repent of your sins, you are a candidate for salvation and for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It don't matter how old you are or how young you are. Amen. I believe Conley, if he wanted to, if God put it in his heart, he may not understand it. But if God got a hold of him, he could be saved. Amen. Because God is no respecter of persons. All he asks is that ye had confessed that ye are a sinner and repent of your sin, and ye shall be saved. Oh, glory to God. There that lame man is worshiping God. He's just been saved. Just got full of the Holy Ghost. And he feels so good about what God's doing in his heart. All of a sudden, here come those men to carry him home. And you know one of them looked at the other one and said, what's gotten into him? He don't even have his cup out. Ain't much help for a lame man when he don't got his cup out. Amen. So they kind of, well, let's get them up. They pick them up and they start carrying that lame man. And all the way, he's just crying, speaking in tongues. Amen. I know I lost some of you all when I started preaching something that's not in the Bible, but just stay with me for a moment, all right? Amen. He's sitting there crying, worshiping God. All of a sudden, he comes to himself and wakes, realizes I'm being carried home. Amen. He looks at those men and said, boys, you guys should have been at church today. Amen. Oh, because you missed it. Amen. And he starts telling them about being saved, about getting full of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, he probably was starting to have church while those men are carrying him home. Amen. But the whole problem is, even though he's saved, even though he's full of the Holy Ghost, he's still being dragged home. This is what I come to preach to you tonight. Amen. There's a lot of us here tonight. We're saved and we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we think that that's all that there is to do. And all the while, you're still just being dragged home. And you're still being dragged to church. Amen. But I want to let you know that God wants to do something in you that goes beyond being saved, that goes beyond getting full of the Holy Ghost. He wants to make you do something for him that'll change this world, that'll change your family, that'll change your friends, because they won't believe what happened to you. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know how many days it had been since the day of Pentecost, but one day finally showed up. He had to have woke up and said, this is going to be a good day. Amen. Amen. Lord, I'm just thankful I'm saved. Thankful to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's sitting there worshiping God. And he opens his eye and looks, and here comes Peter and John. Well, praise the Lord. They're saved. They'll help a fellow Christian. He puts his cup out. And finally, Peter looked at him and said, look on us. And he gave heed, expecting to receive something. Now, I want you to know, folks, I love that song that says, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord. I love that song. It blesses me every time I hear it. But I've come to realize that there's things that God wants to do that just can't fit in the cup. Amen. We come to church. We expect something. Amen. Some of you, you never heard me preach. Most of you haven't heard me preach. Amen. Maybe all of you haven't heard me preach. I don't know. Amen. So you really didn't know what to expect. But you know, we expect something. Expect 3 points in a poem. Amen. 20 minutes of preaching. Amen. Brian told me that pastor cuts it to 15 minutes on Sunday night because he wears himself out on Sunday morning. Amen. So I'm already done gone past that time limit, and you'll forgive me. Amen. But I wanted to tell you, amen, sometimes we come to church and we expect some singing. We expect some testimonies. We expect some prayer. We expect the choir to get up and sing. We expect Brian to exhort the pastor to preach 5 minutes of altar, and we hit the McDonald's. And that's all that we expect. But I want you to know, it could be tonight that what God wants to do for you and what you're expecting is two different things. He sat there with his cup held up, expecting something. All the while, Peter's looking at him as a lame man. He may have been saved. He may have been full of the Holy Ghost, but he's still a lame man. Amen. And there might be somebody here tonight. I preach a lot to the youth because it wasn't very long ago I was youth. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I remember when I turned 21 5 years ago. Amen. It ain't been that long ago. Amen. Where we were in those times where we finally were old enough to do whatever we want. Amen. We used to say 18. Man, when I was 18, I didn't know how to do nothing. Amen. So I say 21. Amen. That's just my feeling about it because, you know, I was pretty dumb at 18. But 21, 5 years ago, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. Amen. But, you know, there's a lot of us as young people. Amen. We don't really know what we want to do with our own lives, let alone what God wants to do with us. So we expect something. Amen. I get excited when I feel God. Woo! Amen. Might even take a lap around the church with Brother Brian as he goes off running. Amen. And we expect. Amen. We walk into church and God touches us. But then we turn around and we walk out the door and nothing's changed. We're still the same person we was when we walked in the door. And I want you to know tonight that God wants to do something with you that can't be held in a run. It can't be held in a jump. Amen. He wants to change you. But you know what I found out? It ain't just the young people. It's a lot of mamas and daddies too. Amen. Why? Because it would have helped my mom and my daddy. Amen. If they would have realized that what God wanted to do with them would have been so much better than maybe what they wanted to do with their own lives. So there may be a mama or a daddy here. You may have children here. And what God wants to do with you may be a witness to your son or to your daughter. Amen. What God wants to do with you is what he did with that lame man. The Bible said he's been lame from his mother's womb. But all of a sudden, Peter takes him by the arm and he stood up. And he ain't never stood before. Amen. Maybe God would like to take a parent, a grandparent that ain't never stood for nothing. Amen. Maybe you've never been the spiritual leader of your home. Maybe you've relied on somebody else to bear the burden in your family, in your church. Amen. But God is wanting to get a hold of you in such a way that'll make you stand and say, we're not going to do this, and we're not going to go there, and we're not going to buckle under the pressure. We're going to stand with our pastor. We're going to stand with our church, and we're going to stay this way till Jesus comes. Amen. But the Bible says that lame man got his healing, but it don't stop there. All of a sudden, excuse me, I'm still growing into my preacher voice. You'll have to forgive me. Amen. All of a sudden, when that lame man got what he needed, the Bible says that there were people that seen him, and they knew he was the lame man. There may be people here that all they will ever know you as is the lame man. But they will not be able to deny what God did for you at an altar. And they stood there
when he ran by, saying, "Was that the lame man?" Greatly wondering. You know, there are people that came up to me in my church that told me, "Brother Zach, we never thought you'd amount to anything." Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I'll tell you why. I'm not bragging on my church, but where I came from, there was no such thing as divorce. Everybody was married to their original spouse. And when my family fell apart, it changed a lot of things. People in the church didn't know how to treat me. Some people were afraid to bring me into their home in case I got hurt and then my parents would sue them. That they didn't know. So me and my sister and my brother, we were kind of pushed to the side. There were those that took care of us. There's men and women in that church that I will love till the day I die. And I appreciate them, because without them I wouldn't have made it. But there were those that just, it wasn't that they didn't like me, they just didn't know. What do we do? Now it's not that way. There's a lot of people hurting in my church. And you know what? I'm able to go to their kids and say, "You can make it." Amen. Amen. So there's some, even today, that when they look at me, all they see is my dad. That's all right. Don't bother me. I look like my dad. I even talk like him. It don't bother me. But I tell you what, it don't matter to me what my dad does with his life. I pray he gets saved. But even if all they see me as is just the lame man that sat at the gate, all I know is I'm running. I'm not going to stay there. Amen. So there may be somebody here tonight you may even be a foster child. I don't know. We got kids in my family. They're adopted. Amen. Brother Hurst, I had to take my little brother to the hospital. He's got a heart problem, 17 years old. I had to take him to the hospital. My mom wasn't there that day. And the nurse looked at me and said, does this run in your family? Is it a genetic thing? And I'm sitting there going, "Well, I'm not sure." And he looked over at me and goes, "Bud, I'm adopted." "Oh, yeah." "That's right, man. We don't know about his father. We don't know." That's the way it was. At first, people looked at him and said, "Yeah, you can tell he's adopted. But to me, he's my brother." Amen. I don't see no different. Amen. I want you to know. Amen. You may come from the worst background imaginable, but you don't have to stay at the gate. God would like to use you to reach somebody with this gospel. Amen. You may not be able to sing. You may not be able to preach. You may not even be able to do much. Amen. But if God could get a hold of you and use you for a light to this world, you may only reach one. But if it's only for that one, God has something for you to do. All you need to do is take a stand for Him. Somebody come to the piano. Help me close this thing down. I'm going to call this to an altar quickly. Amen. The Bible says that he was leaping, worshiping, praising God, and the people came to him, wondering, "What happened to you?" I was working, it's been less than 2 years ago, but I was on my job. They had me, I was working in a grocery store. They had me helping a lady who was only there for the day. I didn't know her, and she didn't know me. And we had some cleaning to do in the produce department. We had to pull all of the lettuce out of the racks and all kinds of stuff. And then we had to clean all that nasty stuff underneath there that nobody sees. That'll make you feel good about your food. Amen. And I went up to her and I introduced myself and said, "I'm the one that's going to be helping you. What do you need me to do?" So she told me, and we started working. She began to conversate with me a little bit, and it wasn't 5 minutes I'd been standing there with her, and she looked at me and she said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I looked at her, and inside I was glad, but I was wondering, what did I do? I said, "What makes you think that, ma'am?" She goes, "I can tell." She said, "You're very polite." I said, "Well, ma'am, yes, I'm a Christian. Matter of fact, I'm a preacher." She said, I knew it. She wasn't much older than me. Found out she used to go to church. Found out she used to know what it meant to be saved. And her life just kind of got lower and lower and lower. Let me tell you about something about this world. It may go like this for a little while, but there's going to come a day that it's going to go like this. And it won't come back up. And you know something? I've never seen her since. But I've told, there's a lot of people. Folks, I wish I could tell you of person after person after person that I convinced to let them pray and get saved. But you know what? There hasn't been very many. But I'm always reaching. And there's been times where I looked into one person's eyes. I said, I may never see you again. Don't you forget what I told you. There's one young man, I went to work at the same grocery store. I was there less than 2 years before we started doing this. And I told him, I said, we got to talking, and he started telling me things that he asked me not to repeat, things that he was going through in his life, things that surprised me, that shocked me. And he was just pouring his heart out to me. He said, people think I've got it all together. He said, and they don't even know what I'm going through. I looked at him in the eye. I said, you know, called him by his name. I said, I've been praying and asking God why I'm here. And it could be for you. Amen, folks. Let me tell you something. There is no telling what God can do with somebody that'll go ahead and leave the past behind them. And everything that people thinks about them, leave it back there and just say, I may not be able to do much, but I can draw people in. I can extend the hand. I can try my best. Amen. I can stand for God. I can do whatever the pastor needs me to do. Amen. You may have been known all of your life as just somebody that's never going to amount to anything. And I want to let you know, he still makes the lame walk. He still makes the blind to see. He still mends the broken hearts. He still puts families back together. He still delivers the drug addict. He still sets free the alcoholic. He still can cleanse the leper. He still can set free the molester. He can still cleanse those that are lost in sin. And he can do it tonight in this service. All you've got to do is expect. I'm tired of just expecting the norm, but I want to ask God, Lord, what are you wanting to do with me tonight? Hey man, it could be that somebody could make their way down to this altar tonight and the pastor say, I've never seen them do that. I've never seen them stand for God that way. I've never seen them do something for God like that. Amen. And you could turn your whole life. You could turn your family. You could turn your whole situation around if you just come to this altar tonight and give your life to God and ask God, what do you want to do with me? This is my altar call, folks. If you're tired of just sitting there at the gate and expecting something, and you want to put the cup aside and say, Lord, here I am. You may be saved, you may be full of the Holy Ghost, but you're lame. You can't walk. And what God wants to do with you is so much greater than just the emotional high that we feel on it once a month.
and we go back out there and nothing changes. But he wants to make you stand in this last day and they'll be able to look at you and say, he did something. God did something in him. If that's you tonight and you say, I'm tired of just being the norm. I want God to do something in my life. I want you to come to this altar. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're single, if you're married, if you've been here, this is your first day, or you've been here 60 years. If you say, I'm tired of just expecting something, and I want God to do what he wants with me, this is your altar call right now. I want you to come to this altar. And by stepping out, you're saying, God, here I am. This is me. This is me with all my problems, all my imperfections, all my needs, everything that people think about me, but here I am. If you'll change me, I'll let you use me. Amen. But I don't want to be the same person I've always been. I don't want to do the same thing I've always done. I'm tired of just coming to church and leaving the same. I want God to get a hold of me. I want God to change me. I want God to use me in spite of what I've been through. He'll do it tonight. Let's all come find a place around this altar. Spend some time in prayer. Hallelujah.
Give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus.